everybody. Come on in. Let us pray, and we're going to worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this day. Lord, I thank you for waking us up. I thank you for our lives. Lord God, we pray for those that are still traveling here and for those that were not able to make it here today. We just pray that you'll be with them wherever they are. You'll bless them. Bless them right where they're at, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise your name, Jesus. Amen.
Who brings the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Carries our cross for us. Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, historically speaking, when you were a criminal, you had to carry your cross before you were crucified. That's your shame and your guilt, and the Lord carries that for us. He takes that on and he cleanses us. Lord, help us to remember that, Father. Help us to rejoice, not in what you've gone through, but what you did for us, Father. Help us to understand that that could be us having to carry that cross and that shame and that guilt and all that pressure. And if there's anyone here today right now, Lord God, that is carrying that, Father, I pray that they say, Lord, please take this from me. I can't do it. You've done it for us, Lord. Help us to surrender and let it go. Help us not to carry it so it doesn't make us stumble and make more bad choices, Father. Help us to have freedom, Lord.
Risen God.
might be some of you that come with a broken heart this morning. You know, I think about all the reasons that we come to the Lord. For searching, we have broken hearts, we've been hurt, or feel like we're missing something. I pray that as we come to the Lord and as we come to church and we become part of this family, that we allow the Lord just to speak to us and to heal us. I know this song is just extra special to my heart. It's like a love song, the Lord speaking to us.
My son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing that's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. For when I hear the praise this I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I see no stain on you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're holy, holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. My child, why are you weeping? You will not have to wait forever. That day and that hour is in my keeping. The day I'll bring you into precious bride, the day is near me. When I'll take you in my arms and hold you. I know there's so many things you've been hearing. But you just hold on to what I've told you. For when I hear the praises start, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. Only what you do for me.
Gift for granted, Lord. When you look at us as your precious children, as those little children that make mistakes and they ask for forgiveness and you have that unconditional love, Father, help us to understand the difference between freedom, Lord God, and feeling like we can get away with things, Lord. You give us freedom from those things, not to do those things. Help us to be overcomers, Father. Help us to grab that love that you give us and to run with it. keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and nothing else on this earth really matters. The circumstances we're going through, while our flesh feels it, and it makes our flesh ache, our spirit can cry out to the Lord, and He can be there for us, and we can feel comfort in anything. Father, I pray for those today, Lord God, that need comfort, Lord. Speak to their spirit, Lord. Help their flesh to be quiet, Father. I pray for those right now, Lord God, that are going through trials, Lord God. We pray that you speak to their spirit and you give them strength, Father. And for those, Lord, that are struggling with addictions in any capacity, Lord, I pray that you speak to their spirit this morning, Lord God, and you free them, Lord. And Father, I pray that you help them to understand and want your freedom too, Lord. I pray for joy and for peace and for all of the fruit of the Spirit for all of us, Lord God. Help us to be set apart, Lord. Help, when people look at us, they know that we are Christians by what we say, by what we do, by how we act. Help us to minister in ways that we don't even know, Lord. And we pray that your Spirit leads today, Lord God.
So even during the announcements, what's said, what comes next, just so that the Holy Spirit has control over the direction of the entire service at any given time, at any given moment. So if you're wondering what I'm doing, that is just quiet. I'm sitting here, I'm going, okay, where are you going? That's what I'm doing. Okay, so we have a couple things that we want to go over with you guys. And first, just want to say thank you for you guys. You guys are such a faithful church, and it's so great just to have each one of you guys in our lives. And so we just want to say thank you for that. One of the things that we were going to talk about, you guys know we don't, make sure this thing is on, hold on a second. My mature eyes.
Very good.
Thank you for practicing that. All right, so So one of the things, you guys know, we don't take up official tithes and offerings or try to cajole you or manipulate, because what you give is you give between whatever you and God talk about. It's whatever he puts on your heart. We have a little bird box in the back. Nobody's going to manipulate, hey, let's pray for a third offering. That would be crazy. God always provides. Now, Gary's going to come up and share just a minute just about giving. Now, kind of the funny thing is, when I went on vacation last year, I am going to tell the story just for a second. So Gary, when I was away, Gary did a really great teaching. He felt like, I remember him telling me, like, for 6 months, maybe even a year, he's like, God gave me a message on tithing. And I'm like, well, I'm glad he gave it to you. he didn't want to give it either, but he did. And I listened to it on audio. It was really a rock-solid message. I mean, it was really good, and there was a few gaps in there, and you guys filled just the right illustrations, just the right word. It was like God's hand was over the whole thing. It was really neat. So, of course, right after that, tithing the sermon, like, giving tanks. But we wanted to do this. We wanted to just show you, like, what's being used in the money and that type of thing. So I wanted Gary to come up. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk about money because of the Lord. But it's a part of what we do. So, Gary, would you like to grab the microphone and then I'll take it back home? And it's Salt House next week. I will talk about that in a minute. It's two. A couple weeks. Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about that afterwards too.
Okay, let's see. First, the ground rules. I want to be real short. Okay, I need the armor of God on this morning. Questions? It comes to, in the interest of time. If you have any questions about any of this, come see me afterwards, and I'll do my best to answer whatever questions, or find out where we can find the answer to your question. Okay, first... What this is a comparison between the first 9 months of 2016 to the first 9 months of 2017. Okay, the left is the received, and the blue is 2016, and the red is 2017. George, can you put the numbers, the slide with the numbers?
Yeah, I have to switch out of this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right. We can do this.
Let me give you what the numbers are for 20. The total for 2016 was 55,500. So far in 2017, it's just a touch under 48,900, which is down about $100 a week. The weekly average last year was 1068. This year it's 960. So it's down about $125 a week. Now, that may not seem like a whole lot, but when your annual budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000, that's about $5,000, so you're looking at a decrease of about 10%. And so Pastor Darren's right in the message last year on tithing. Obviously, it wasn't a big deal. Now, on the right-hand side, that's what we spent for the year. And you see, the spending is almost exactly what it was the prior year, and that on a weekly basis. We're spending $5 a week more this year than we did last year. And that now, George, if you can slide it up to show the pie chart. There we go. Yeah. Okay. The different colors, we broke it out into four categories: missions and benevolence, ministry, facilities, and facility improvements. And that, the percentages there. Let me give you a feel for some of the things that go into each category. For instance, missions and benevolence. Benevolence is when somebody in the body says, "Gee, you know, I don't have enough money for food this week. I need some help." That comes out of benevolence. And that when we give gift cards out for people in need, and that we make charitable contributions to other ministry. And you hear that mentioned here. When we buy Bibles for Paul in Africa, that comes under missions. And that, in ministry, the books that Pastor Darren hands out, the CDs, and that we purchase, that all is under ministry. We have church supplies, and church supplies include things like your Thursday dinner, and that the money for Thursday dinner, when we hold a church barbecue, We hold a picnic over at Sue's, and then we bring in, you know, meat or something to go along with the potluck. That's all ministry kind of thing. There's some license for some of the software that Pastor Darren uses and for teaching on Sunday. Men's ministry. That, you know, we spend some money for materials there occasionally, some for food. That, let's see, music is some. Let's see. We give Darren, Darren has some, frankly, pocket money. That, so, you know, if he wants to meet someone for breakfast, if he can do that, that all falls under ministry. Now, facility, you know, there we have insurance on the building here. Hurricane season, we were glad we did. We have expense for landscaping. Right? Grass needs to be cut. The bushes need to be trimmed. And there's maintenance items that come along the way, too. We have utility bills here, just like you have at home. And that, you know, we have to pay for postage, telephone, you know, all of that type of thing. And that, but at any rate, we try to be careful with how we spend the money. And that our goal, obviously, is to get as much of it into ministry and missions and benevolence as we can. And that... we're, in monetary terms, we're probably not a rich church. Yeah, but I think in terms of what's important to the Lord, we are very much a blessed church. And that, so anyway, we're going to try to do this, hopefully on a quarterly basis, just so you all have an idea of what's going on. And then, again, if you have any questions, grab me afterwards, and I'll be happy to do whatever I can to answer.
Since you're here anyway, is there anything, can you stand here one more second while you get the PowerPoint back up? There's also Salt House. Now, this is going to be on a Sunday, and so Salt House is, you just spend like 60 seconds if you need any help, and just about just what the ministry is about, and it's on a Sunday, and so if anybody wants to help, you can skip church this that particular day if you're going to be helping Gary minister to people.
I was going to say, you're never going to hear that again from Pastor. Okay. Well, Mark and I, Mark Manley and I, we've been part of a group of guys that do barbecue for special events. We started weekly at another church, oh goodness, better than 10 years ago. And that, we only do special events now, and that's if you notice a smoker in the back, at least I think it was returned yesterday. And that, but the trailer smoker... came out of that ministry. We've been doing a car show about twice a year for the last 10 years. The major benefactor for the car show is Solve House. And if any of you are not familiar with Solve House, Solve is a home for pregnant girls who need a place to go and don't want to abort their babies, want to have their babies. And so Solve House ministers to them. They give them a home, help them continue on with their education, witness Jesus to them. It's amazing the stories that they have. Our guys with the barbecue, and I can give you a little more at Solve or tell you where to find more information from Solve. They have four homes over Manatee and Sarasota County, and I think they do a marvelous job. If you've ever been involved in ministry like that, you'd find it very much a blessing. And that the barbecue guys, we've got guys now from... eight different churches to participate and on Sunday it'll be November 2nd I believe it is, it's the first Sunday in November, we'll be doing food for the car show. We'll be the only food vendor there. We'll probably do 250 hamburgers and about 120 pounds of pulled pork in a 3-hour period. And last couple times out, we raised about $2,500 profit for Salt House. But we have a blast. Our tagline is that while we claim the best barbecue to the side of heaven, and I think we can stand on that. We call ourselves Holy Smoke. but our joke line is that if you put men, meat, fire, and Jesus together, something interesting will happen.
Good.
Thank you, brother. If anybody's interested in helping at that barbecue, just see Gary after church. And you are free to help in Jesus' name. Also, you guys know we're doing Equipping of the Saints, and so for you guys who don't know, October 31st is coming up, which is, of course, for Christians, National Evangelism Day. Okay? Now, I know that seems kind of silly. There is no National Evangelism Day, but it really is when you think about it. Now, listen, I don't want to go against any of your convictions, and so, you know, some people, you know, some Christians, you know, participate, some kind of shut their doors and windows and lights and kind of go home. And I'm just going to give you an idea, okay? This is just a quick idea. Why don't you, in your mind, make it National Evangelism Day? How many opportunities do you have where people will come to your home, knock on the door, and ask for something? What an opportunity. So why don't you get some amazing candy, and they'll say, you can say, trick or treat, and you could say, neither, but Jesus loves you, and you give them the best, coolest, most awesome piece of Snickers or Milky Way you can with a track about Jesus Christ, and you tell them God loves them. You drop it in each one of their boxes. Now, if you don't know what a track is, it's just something that looks like this. God allows you turns, or they'll have one for kids, or for this one, for teens, Cassie Burnell. She said, yes. Where do you get them? Well, we've got some here, but they run out, so you have time right now. And so, for example, you can get some at livingwaters.com, and they've got tracks. You can put these little kids' tracks in million-dollar bills. You can get for $10 a 100 of them, so it's not very expensive. Livingwaters.com. Or here's another one. Good News and ATX tracks are at www.crossway.org. And they've got tons of children's tracks. And you'll have stuff for kids, stuff for teens, and stuff for adults. Why not look at it as an opportunity? Jesus says, God's word says, make the most of every opportunity. People are going to be coming to your door. Wow, thank you, Lord. Instead of turning off the lights, maybe just pray and ask the Lord if he would have you turn this into a ministry opportunity. Jesus' name. Okay, something to think about? Okay, sorry, I know this is long. You guys already know we have a Wonder Library in the back, sermons online, all to help you grow in Jesus Christ. Prayer meetings this morning, Sunday mornings, 9 or 9:30. I came in at 9:30. I just hit the, we started. It was fantastic. I felt so much better afterwards. I just love that prayer time. And more people are showing up. I just love that. I'm so thankful. But you are invited to that. Also, we've got men's Monday night Bible study on purity. So see Gary for more details on that. That's 6:30 to 8 on Monday. Tuesday, we've got we're in the book of 2 Samuel. We're going through all of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And so we have dinner at 6 p.m., usually some sort of meat. And then we're going through the character study on the life of David. Anything you want to say on that?
Well, I believe Miss Natalie is going to do dinner.
Does that mean we get out?
My special request.
Yes, that's fantastic.
And we'll be in 2 Samuel 21.
Okay, 2 Samuel 21. Fantastic. So this is what we use the facilitators for. So Monday, we got a Bible study. Tuesday, we got a Bible study. Wednesday, we have a Transformers Youth Bible study here at the facilities. And Josh and Amanda Panda are doing a series on suicide. And so that's here. At church on Wednesday. On Thursday, we have barbecue and Bible study. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to do a special four-week series. Take a little break and do a special four-week series. But that's Thursday night, so you can come here at 6 p.m., get something to eat, and we start with worship and the Word at 7. But we're going through the Old Testament normally. But that's what we're doing Thursday. Oh, I forgot to put the pictures for school. And we have a wonderful school here, so we continue to pray for them. Again, pray for our missionaries. Sherry Brower was here last week, just gave the invitation, and had a beautiful prayer. God used her, led her here last week. It was wonderful. Just keep praying for Child Evangelism Fellowship. Also, Paul and Marcia Crowley are our missionaries down in Africa in the inner city slums. He just sent me a text. He said, will you please tell your church, are they okay? He said, I want you to know that all of the pastors here in the slums are praying for you and your body. They've been praying feverishly for you guys, wanting to make sure that you were okay. We saw the direction that the hurricane and how it changed at the last minute. We were all praising God, but we wanted to make sure that you and your body are okay. Please, please, please tell them that we are praying for you. Here, these people are all in the world. poorest slums of the slums, and they are praying feverishly for you. So I said, yes, I will tell them. So be encouraged. Also, the North River Care Center, Laura, they just had a benefit. And just so for those of you who don't know, I don't even know how to describe it. What is pregnancy alternative? How do I even say it, Laura? What would you say?
Pregnancy support.
Pregnancy support center. Thank you. And we give as a body to that. And we've they just had a special. I'm having a hard time with this.
Banquet.
Thank you so much. Just fill in the blanks. Jesus, God. So they had a special banquet, and I think they raised between $4,000 and $5,000 or something.
Right,
like
that.
Oh my goodness, that's wonderful! Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's our biggest
fundraiser of the year. Wonderful, praise the Lord! Wow. We just want to let you know that you guys were part of giving to that.
Thank you.
It's our honor. So praise the Lord for that. So please pray for them. Also, Peggy and Lester Seiler, we miss them. All our missionaries. Zimbabwe, just continue to pray for God's will for them. They're kind of stuck down there. They want to be back here with us. Just the economy's crashing. Just pray for God's will for them and God's protection. It's getting pretty bad down there for them. So just, if you would, pray for them. Nate, do you have anything else you want to say?
You covered it well. It's the prayers continue. I mean, it's almost the same story as far as praying that things would happen quickly for them.
Yes, and so in God's time, we miss them, and we're looking forward to having them back. Okay, again, please pray for our newly baptized folks. But again, we're having another baptism. Now, I had the date wrong last week, so everybody came up to me and told me how wrong I was. So I'm used to that. So anyway, Sunday, October
22nd.
Right? Okay, everybody good? Okay, everybody right? That's Sunday? Okay, we're just going to do it at our house. I know we just had a baptism, but we have a couple more people that want to get baptized. And so, and so they just want to do it publicly, and they want to just proclaim the name of Jesus. And so you're all invited. I don't know if there'll be 10 people or 100 people at the house, but you're all invited afterward. We'll just have some hot dogs and that kind of stuff. It's very, very casual. And in fact, we still have some of the boards up from the hurricane on the windows. But anyway, we're going to do that baptism. We'll give you a chance to pray about it. Maybe God has give you a word for people or whatever. Just a word of encouragement for them as they're getting baptized. We can pray over them. We'd love to have you there. Okay. I think that's about it. Normally we go through verse by verse through the Bible. We're going through the book of Colossians.
Pastor Darren.
Yes.
We set a date for the QuickBooks training.
Oh, you did? Okay, I just took that out.
Yeah, November 4th.
Okay, November 4th for the QuickBooks training.
Right. And anybody who expressed an interest, I sent an email this last week. If you didn't get it, let me know. And if anybody is interested.
Great. So if anybody wants free QuickBooks training, see Mary Kate, November 4th, in Jesus' name. Opportunity. Okay. And then also the children's ministry. I'm supposed to say something about that.
Yes, definitely. For moms and dads, please make sure we sign in every child that we put in there.
Yes.
Even people that, like myself, who basically live here, still need to sign in their kiddos.
Yes.
Sometimes we forget. And also, 10:15 is drop-off, and 15 minutes after service gets out, we should already have our children by then, just so the ministry workers have time to set up and take down everything in a good time. So,
yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it really is. They have to have time to set up beforehand, and if you ever have kids, you can't set up anything with all the kids. So you want to make sure. And also, the reason why we sign them in and out is because, you know what, not everybody knows everybody yet sometimes. So we just want to make sure the right children go to the right parents.
And also the right snacks, because if they have allergies or something like that,
absolutely,
we need to have that written down.
So Mark, I'm going to have you come up here. Normally we're in the book of Colossians. We've gone through all of chapter 1. We just finished the book of Jonah. We're going through the book of Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 2, all about Jesus Christ. We just covered the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to go into chapter 2 next week. However, Mark Manley felt like the Lord had a message that he put on his heart, and he wanted to give it. And so what we're going to do is allow Mark to come up here and share the message with you folks, and then we're going to allow, there's going to be a four-part series on Thursday nights. Usually it's Tom and I, Tom's going through the book of Hosea, which I heard is great. And also, we're going through the book of 1 Kings. But for the next four Thursdays, we're still going to be here cooking, preparing, that kind of stuff. But Mark is going to be doing a series on Christ. And so we want to invite you out that. Now, here's one thing. We're going to take a minute and pray for him. Mark just had, I don't know, quintuple bypass or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. So we're just going to pray that God would give him strength, and he felt like he had a message for us today. So let's just pray for him and pray over him. Father God, I just pray that you anoint Mark Manley from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord God, by your Spirit. You would anoint his tongue, you would anoint his eyes, you would anoint his mind, you would organize everything he has to say, anything you want him to say. You would help him to say it, Lord God, and I know he doesn't maybe have the energy he used to have, but I pray that you would empower him in Jesus' name to speak your words truthfully, lovingly, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that you would open up our eyes and ears to anything your Holy Spirit has to say to us, Lord. We love you, we ask you to bless him, and we ask that we hear every word from your mouth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
I know that the timing of this message may seem strange, but I know it's right. I know it's right because a couple of weeks ago in the men's group, I was sitting next to a gentleman, and he said something that was so dead on that I know he's not the only one that is asking that question or feeling that. And I know that because I felt that way for 60 years. Okay? And I was sitting there, and here's what he said. I know I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now what? We think that we will float through life on flowery beds of ease. Things will get easy. But guess what? That's not right. They're going to get tougher because now all of a sudden the enemy is paying attention to us. Before, he didn't have to. But now he does. So it's a legitimate question because usually, and we are very fortunate in this church that we teach chapter and verse, but they teach other things and little sermons and clippets and this and that and the other, and it's not how to live the life. And that's what we're going to... Today is the introduction. In the next 4 weeks, on Thursday nights, we're going to talk about why God created us. And we're going to talk about who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. And the last week, we're going to talk about how to walk the walk. So, this morning, in the book of the Revelation, God says in chapter 12, verse 10 through 11, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now that's what the words on the page say. But there's an intent here. So I'm going to read it with intent. Revelation 12, chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And this is John. He says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
For they loved their lives not even unto death. Now, right now, here today, have come the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Right now. We just have to stick an oar in the water. What does that mean? That means we have to trust Him. That He will do what He says He will do. He hung on a cross so that we could have eternal life with Him and live life abundantly. We spent about 2 months in Alabama visiting our son and his family. We live in a beautiful house on a lake, and I was sitting there one day spending time with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, Mark, it's time. It's time that all the people that you've been working with in your life stick an oar in the water. Which means they have to start pulling. They have to start believing and doing what it is that you have taught them about me. And I said, well, that's great, Lord. I'm not really sure exactly what that means at this point for this time. Well, it wasn't long before He showed me what that meant. Because on June 13th at 3 a.m., I woke up with a severe pain in my left arm. I said, you know, I've had a pain in my left arm before, but not like this. So I got up. I did some breathing and all this kind of stuff. And didn't get any better. Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I took my blood pressure. It was 190 over 155. And I said, this isn't good. So I hadn't taken any of my medications for the day. I took 3 blood pressure pills, and I took about a half a dozen aspirin. I said, Lord, I think I'm having a heart attack. He says, Mark, I want you to get in your van, and I want you to drive to the hospital right now. Now, you may say, are you crazy? Why didn't you dial 911? Well, before, on our last visit, Debbie had an attack. We called 911. It was an hour before they got there, and then it was an additional half hour while they were there, and then it was an hour before we got to the hospital. Yeah, that's true. So I knew I was on solid ground because He told me to do it. So I got there. And I also knew I was on solid ground because when I got there, I walked in and I handed them my insurance cards and I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. There was nobody else in the waiting room, and she said, well, have a seat. We'll be with you in a minute. I'm like, I'm having a heart attack here. So anyway, they got me in, and the doctor said, well, you know, there's really no evidence of this heart attack, but we do want to keep you for overnight just to see. Well, as the day progressed, I guess when you have a heart attack, there's certain enzymes that the heart puts out, and these enzymes kept going and going and going and going. And they said, well, you know, you had a heart attack. I said, okay. So what we're going to do is tomorrow we're going to do a stress test. And I said, okay, but we can't do that here. We have to take you over to Birmingham because we were in Talladega. So the next day, got in the ambulance, went over to Birmingham. And they said, we're not going to do a stress test. Because you have had a heart attack, but we're going to try to put in some stents. Okay, that works for me. I'll be out. You know, everything will be fine. Well, about 15 minutes in, they said, we can't do anything. You got to have surgery tomorrow, 6 o'clock. That's how bad this is. And I come to find out, the doctor said, you know, you're a very fortunate man. Because fully one-third of the people that have the condition that you have, the first symptom they have is they keel over dead. I said, okay, well, I'm glad I'm not in that one-third. I'm glad I'm in the two-thirds. But I said, Lord,
when Debbie had her heart attack, I had time to orchestrate the prayer, come to you, ask you how we should pray and what should be done. He said, Mark, remember what I told you? He said, it's time for people to stick an oar in the water and start to do what it is that they've been trained to do. Well, I called my baby girl. And I told her what was going on. And she said, Pop, I got this. See, I've worked so hard with her throughout her life. And that's in a whole other story. But I said, Miss, I don't have time. And she just stopped me. She said, Pop, I've got this. And the Lord said, Ah, that's what I'm talking about. She's sticking an oar in the water. So I called my son. And told him what was going on. Then the next morning he showed up before the surgery and we spent some time and he said, Pop, he said, I called my people. They've been praying. One of them just happens to be a member of the Harley Davidson International Motorcycle.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There's over 2,000 people praying all around the world just for you right now because they know what's going on. I thought, wow, people are actually paying attention. And they're saying, you know what, I have to do something. I can't depend on Dad anymore alone. I have to do it. And I guess I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody sitting in here that the Lord is speaking to saying, hey, step out. Take me at my word. Believe what I'm telling you. Quit being afraid. I'm the one that's responsible for the results, not you. I will call you to action. If you step out, I will do it. A little later that day, doctor came in. We were having a conversation. And he explained to me all the different things that were going to happen as far as the physical surgery was concerned and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, I want to thank you very much for telling me that. I said, now I'd like to tell you, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has told me he's not done with me yet, so let me tell you how this surgery is going to go. He is going to perform the surgery through your team. You guys are going to be able to do things that you had no idea that you were able to do. There will be miracles. And you say, man, I ain't that good to be able to do what was done. And after this, he almost broke into tears. He said, do you realize what a relief that is for me? He said, I'm a believer. But I operate on so many people that are scared to death. And I can't talk to them about the love of Christ. But I know now that he is the one that will do the work. And he is the one that will perform the work. And he did. Because I had surgery on Thursday and Monday at 4 I was out of the hospital. I thought it was going to be a couple of weeks, but it was only a couple of days. And the Lord gave me a mission. He said that there was 4 distinct messages that he gave me. First of all, it was for this little church in Talladega. And they remind me a lot of this church, and I think that's why I love them so much. It's because they're at a crossroads. To go to that church, you have to make a decision to go down a dead-end road and park. And the Lord told me to tell them that They are known to me as the little house of prayer on the lake. People will come to this church, some just to visit, but there will be lives changed in this church because of the prayers that are offered here. That was the first message. And the second message that he gave me was that he wanted me to call two pastors that have been so influential in my life. One is my former choir director in Lexington, Kentucky. He's a world-renowned choir director. But the main thing that drew me to him, and I thought it was just because he was a man of integrity and loved the Lord, which is true. But he also lived a biblical principle, and he taught it to us. And he said, choir, I want you to realize we sing to an audience of one. We sing to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and He is worthy of our praise. So he says, I want you to always give everything you have to praise His name. And we realized that we were responsible for leading the congregation into fellowship with the Lord. We took that responsibility very seriously. But it was because of the teaching that Mark gave us. And I didn't realize until this week that he was teaching a very biblical principle. And it was in John chapter 8, verse 29. And Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone. For I do always the things that are pleasing to him. Mark taught us that it was the Lord Jesus Christ in us singing to God the Father. He was living that principle every day and every time he taught. The second pastor that he wanted me to call and encourage is sitting in this room today. Because he lives and teaches another biblical principle every single week. And that is John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, when it says, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's what he teaches every week. It's all Jesus, all day, all week, every week. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If we don't get that, we got nothing. And that's the message. And you know what happens when people live that way? Without even trying, they bear fruit. Fruit that is so attractive that people want what they have. And they want to find out how to get it. But the biggest fruit that these two pastors have shown to me is love. They love us so much that they will tell us the truth, even if it hurts, or when it hurts. Because without Jesus, there's nothing. The third message that he wanted me to give was to everybody that I know and see and talk to. So if you guys would turn to Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. This is his message to every one of us. Okay? And it says, "For I know the purpose which I am planning for you." So you might as well put your name right there. Okay? Because originally he was talking to Israel, but now he's talking to all of us. All 7 billion of us. Because we were each created uniquely. And if you don't believe that, I'm sorry, but we all have fingerprints and they're all different. Each one of us has different DNA strands, all 7 billion of us. So he has created us uniquely, and he has a plan for each one of us. The purpose of peace and not for evil, to give you prosperity and a hope. Now that word prosperity, a lot of people think, oh great, I'm going to have a new Cadillac in the garage this week. No. No, it does not mean that. Prosperity means to bring back to himself. We have been separated ever since Adam fell. His mistake caused all of us right relationship with him. Okay? He made a bad choice. And we pay the price. But God has a plan created to make us right with him again. "Then you shall call on me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek and find me when you search for me with your heart. And I will be found by you, says Jehovah, and I will turn away your captivity." Captivity here is referring to sin and our sinful lives. He'll turn us away from that and turn us to him so that we can have that right relationship. "And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Jehovah. And I will bring you again into the place from which I sent you into exile." He wants us back. He wants us in relationship with him. And he voluntarily sent his son. And his son voluntarily went to the cross. And his son voluntarily hung on the cross, held the cross together so that he could hang there and die. And then the Holy Spirit raised him up from the dead so that we could be made right with him. Do you think that we can trust him when he tells us to go out and say something to somebody? Or to give a word of encouragement to somebody? Or to forgive somebody? Or to get out of our seats and go help somebody else in a ministry? Right where we are, we don't have to go to Africa. We just have to look where we are, because that's where he wants to minister through us. We need to stick an oar in the water, guys. There's a heart surgery that was performed physically. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about message number 4. This is the TARDIS. And that's a message of forgiveness. And I got to tell you in advance that my wife has given me total permission to tell this story. But it's hard. You see, when she went on a senior trip to New York when she was in high school, she was raped by a classmate. It dramatically affected her life. It was so shameful to her. And I just found this out not too long ago, that she couldn't even tell her parents about it. She carried that burden her whole life until finally she was comfortable enough with me to let me know. I had loved her enough and shown her enough compassion that she felt safe enough to tell me that. But that wasn't the only really tough thing, and I don't even know if it was the toughest thing that she's had to endure. Because see, when she and I got married, our mothers instantly had total confrontation. Why? I have no idea. I don't know. But her mother treated her so badly. It wasn't physical abuse, but she left scars that can't be seen. Those are the ones that really hurt. And I didn't know this because she loved me enough not to tell me this. But my mother did the same thing to her. Okay? She would call her on the phone and she would say, "You took my son and my grandchildren away from me," and all this kind of crap. Okay? So she has had a lot of stuff to forgive. And it's been very difficult. But let me tell you the consequences of not doing it. Okay? In Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse... the whole thing goes from 21 to 35. But I'm going to start in 31. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported this to their master, all that had taken place. Then his master summoned the man that had been forgiven and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. 10,000 talents. That's an incalculable number, but it's about the gross national product of the United States for 1 year. That's about how much it is. $3 trillion. He was forgiven. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him over to the jailers. My translation, it says torturers. And I'll tell you what, I've seen some serious torture and experienced some serious torture with my wife because I couldn't forgive either. Okay? Until he could pay all the debt, so also my Father, my Heavenly Father, will do to every one of you if you do not forgive from your heart. It's not that he wants to. We're the ones that are putting ourselves in jail. We're the ones that have the keys. We're the ones that are in there, and we can turn the key, open the door, and walk out. That key is forgiveness. And the lock is unforgiveness. And we have the key. Do we want to forgive? Or do we want to continue to be tortured and stay in jail? You see, there's heart surgery that only Jesus can perform. And one of the things that they had in the video that they showed me as I was getting ready to leave the hospital was one of the things that you need to get rid of is anger. Really? You think? And you need to get rid of stress and this and that and the other. I can't do that. But Jesus can. Okay? Because here's his heart surgery. It's in Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28. "I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land." And what I believe the Lord means is right relationship with him through Christ. Bring us into that land. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone, unforgiveness, from your flesh and give you a fresh heart, a heart of flesh." And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my laws. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's God's heart surgery. Also in Colossians, we haven't gotten there yet, but we're going to. Colossians 3, 9 through 17. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, sectarian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Is the peace of God ruling in our hearts? If not, ask Him to bring out the scalpel. Lord, bring out the scalpel and cut that unforgiveness out. Show me how to unlock that door and walk out in freedom. Because when He does it, He doesn't just cover the sin. It's as if it never existed. It's not by the blood of goats or sacrifices or anything else. It's by the blood of the Lamb. That supernatural blood that makes it as Adam and Eve were in the garden. Sin never existed in them. That's how He sees us. There is one thing about forgiveness that I want us all to realize. And Debbie pointed this out to me because she loves to do these puzzles. I don't know what they're called. Cryptograms. This one cryptogram she did before I'm delivering this message, and it says, forgiveness cannot change the past, but it can certainly enlarge your future. Think about that. What are you being held back from? What future does God have planned for you that you are not allowing Him to fulfill in you because you refuse to forgive? That's a heavy burden. I know. I had a heart attack because of it. Proverbs 4:20-23. This is how much He cares about the heart. If you notice in these others, it's about the heart. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. My version says, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. How do we do that? Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. He's the one that does the guarding. Not us. He does it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You can't think about those things and allow unforgiveness to eat you alive. You can't. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live as overcomers. He truly does. And I know this because it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. One more quick story. And then we're going to do something. A couple of weeks ago, Debbie had an ultrasound or something where they took pictures of the chest because the doctor couldn't hear what was going on in her lung. She thought, she didn't want to say this, but she thought that it might have been cancer. Well, they did this thing and we waited to hear the results. And so one Friday afternoon, not too long ago, the doctor called and said, well, we want you to go over and meet with this pulmonologist as quickly as possible to go over the results from the test. That's bad news. So immediately, I got a hold of my prayer team and I asked them to pray as the Spirit would lead, because that's what he says about himself. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ask or even think. So why am I going to present a laundry list to him when he already knows what he wants to do, which is far above anything I could even ask or think? So I sent that out. Please pray as the Spirit leads. And I sent this list out to like David's mighty warriors. Okay? Those are the only ones I sent it to. Because I knew that they knew how to pray and would pray. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sticking with that exceedingly abundantly above and beyond unless you give me something else. And he said, here's what I want you to pray. That's when I'm all ears. I want to hear what you have to say. He says, I want you to encapsulate whatever it is in that diagram that they see that they don't like. I want you to encapsulate that with my faith and with my love, and I want you to shrink it into nothingness. Like it doesn't even exist. I said, okay, we'll go with that. I did. We had to wait till Tuesday. We went there because, in my understanding, we were going to have a biopsy. That's not good. We went to the doctor. They said, well, no. We're not doing a biopsy. We're just going to go over the results, and then if we need to, then we'll schedule that. And I'm like, oh, man. I don't want to go through 2 weeks of waiting to do something else. But Lord, you said it would shrink into nothingness. That's what you wanted to do, and I believe that you did. Well, we went in there, and the doctor started to examine her and was talking with her, and he's got this confused look on his face, and he says, I'm not seeing anything. I'm not hearing anything in your voice. I'm not, I'm not seeing anything in your appearance. I'm listening. I'm not. So let's take a picture. Let's pull this picture up and see what's going on. So we did. And he read the notes and he looked at it and he said, well, the thing that they're talking about is over here somewhere. I said, where? He said, well, do you see that little speck? He said, no. So he blew that speck up. And we still couldn't see it. And he said, well, let me blow it up some more. And he blew it up some more. And it was this little teeny head of a pin. And he said, now, I've got to tell you, it's been my experience that anything less than a centimeter is benign. But this thing is less than a millimeter. Can't even see it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wait 6 months, and we're going to take another scan. And if that's good, we're going to wait a year. And if that's good, we're going to wait 3 more years. God did what he said he would do. Okay? So, there's one more scripture that I think God wants us to act on right now. And guys, could you come and pass out these pens and this paper? You were right, Gary. This is for notes. Romans says, chapter 16, 19 and 20, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil.
I'm sorry, can you tell me the verse again? I want to read it with you.
Romans 16, 19, and 20. You guys might want to open your Bibles and underline this. Yes. Pass up. Just tear them out. Okay? For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What did that say? Who's got their Bible open that can read verse 20 for me?
16:20.
Yeah, 16, verse 20.
The God of peace will sing for his sake under your feet.
Under whose feet?
Under your feet.
Under your feet. Under my feet. Okay? So you're getting a pen right now. Now you may not have soles on the feet that you can write on, but I'm going to encourage you to do this. Write that down right now on the soles of your feet. Take your shoes off. Write it. Give me one of these pens. On your shoe. Because your shoe's what you wear. And you are inscribing the word of God on your foot, on your shoe.
And the God of peace.
Just write down Romans 16:20. And then you write Romans 16:20 in your heart. So that you will know that every step you take, you are stomping Satan underneath your feet. Not because you said you could do it, but because the Holy Spirit, through Paul, said it in Romans.
I did it.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Well, in order to start, in order to crush him, you got to start. And you got to start by writing on your shoe. And I'm going to tell you something. You are inscribing scripturally and spiritually this on your shoe. Inscribing so that it cannot be undone. And every step that you take, boom, 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 the Lord is crushing you. Okay? Now, I've got some. Darren, you have something you want to say?
You know what I just wanted to say, too? You might want to hear this as well. I don't know if it was just for me, but the Lord was saying, you know what I want you to also write on the soles of your feet? What the enemy is accusing you of, or what he's saying to you. Loser, failure, unlovable. Whatever
yes.
it is, write it down there.
Whatever accusation he is throwing up against you, write it down. Now, I'm going to give you some other scriptures that I want you to write on this piece of paper. Because these are the categories that I think we're having, areas where we're not being walking as prosperously as God would have us walk. One is health. Okay?
I'm sorry, is this on the paper?
Write it on the paper. Health. I want you to write down Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Mark chapter 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Mark 5. A whole chapter. This is under health.
Mark chapter what?
Five.
What verse?
The whole thing.
Thank you.
There's three incredible accounts here. Matthew 8:17. 17. 1 Peter 2:24. Provision. If you need provision, I want you to write these scriptures down. Philippians 4:19. 2 Corinthians 9:8-10.
What was that?
2 Corinthians 9:8-10. Psalm 112:9-10. Okay, if there's anybody here that's got trouble going on, I'll go over it with you. If there's anybody that's got trouble going on, Psalm 50:15. That's my emergency phone number, my go-to number. It's never busy. He's always available. Psalm 50:15. Call on me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. That's it. If you got trouble with your thinking, Romans 12:1-2. Gary will talk to you all about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18.
For stinking thinking.
1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. 23 and 24. If the enemy's telling you you're not good enough, oh, that's one of his favorite lies. Read Isaiah 49:14-16 and do that when you get home. Isaiah 49:14-16. This is what God says about you, not what the enemy says. Also, 2 Corinthians 3:1-6. And 5:17-21. Now, 5:17-21. Sometimes people think, well, I'm too far gone. What I've done is too bad, too sinful. God couldn't possibly forgive me. Just read Isaiah 61, the whole chapter. Just read it. And the last one is, and there's a lot of this, my lost one. I love my family so much, but this one doesn't know the Lord, and that one doesn't know the Lord. They're out of right fellowship with them, okay? Please pay particular attention to this. John 6, 44 and 45. John 6, 44 and 45. Those are the scriptures that Pastor Darren lives and teaches every week. John 6, 44 and 45. That's what he does. Luke 24, 45.
Which one is that?
Luke 24, 45. This is for the lost loved ones. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And the last one is the Revelation 2, verse 7. Those specific scriptures are scriptures God can work with and will answer because He says it. So Thursday night, we're going to talk about why God created us. The following Thursday, we're going to talk about who I am in Christ. The following Thursday, we're going to talk about who Christ is in me. And the following Thursday, we talk about how to walk the walk. So, I told Pastor Darren I'm going to give him and Tom some time off. And the Lord gave me those four messages plus some information. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of having you speak to your people through me today. I pray, Lord, that that word just is inscribed into our hearts, and that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can now start to take root where it hasn't had root before. Because truth and light have been shown on the lives of the enemy. And now, that abundant life that you want us to have, that you paid so dearly for, can start to happen. I pray, Lord, that you would give each of us the courage to stick an oar in the water and start to pull, to take you at your word and believe that what you have said is true and watch you perform the miracles in our lives. And when that happens, there's going to be people coming up to each one of us and say, how do I get what you got? And then Jesus steps up and starts talking right through us to them. And we get to be amazed again at how awesome you are. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for allowing us to be your children. In Christ's name we pray.